Chapter 8. Eddie is floating on cloud 9 for the rest of his shift. He's sure he looks like a love-struck fool, floating from griddle to finish up the day's final orders. Steve confirming that he was not, in fact, interested in Tammy, and that he did want to be Eddie's friend, had him reeling in ridiculous giggles all afternoon. Ray watches him with a mixed look of concern and amusement as Eddie hums to himself while he mops up the kitchen after closing. "Someone seems awful chipper," Ray says with an amused smile, as Eddie mimics dropping his mop down into a sweeping embrace. "What's got you humming like that?" "Oh, nothing." Eddie flutters his eyelashes in a playfully flirtatious mood before a grin bursts across his face. "Can a guy be just in a good mood?" Ray hums as he watches Eddie dunk the mop into the soapy bucket before plopping it back down onto the sticky kitchen floor. "I suppose," Ray allows. "Just seems out of character for you, that's all." "I don't know what you mean, Raymond," Eddie says in mock disbelief. "I'm always as pleasant as pie." There's a snort from outside the kitchen window from Bobby, who's sitting at the drink bar going over the receipts from the day and writing down numbers into a logbook. "Something funny out there, old man?" Eddie pokes his head out through the kitchen window with a raised eyebrow. "Don't mind me," Bobby says, trying to hide a smile. "Just thinking about what kind of pie you'd be. I'm guessing something awful sour. Rhubarb, maybe. Or raisin, since you have the personality of a shriveled up little old lady." "Excuse you, I do not have the personality of a shriveled up little old lady." Eddie glares out at him as Bobby turns around to look at him with a smirk. "And if I do, it's one of those cool old lesbian bikers that we met that one time in Chicago. The extra mean ones." "Oh, please." Bobby snorts and turns back around, pushing his reading glasses further up his nose. "You're just a big old teddy bear. You couldn't be mean to someone if you tried." "Tell that to Steve," Ray grunts as he skims the fridge, checking all the Best Buy dates to make sure everything is still fresh for tomorrow. "Stephen and I have worked out our differences, thank you very much," Eddie says haughtily as he scrubs at the floor. "He apologised for being a dick in school, and I apologise for being a dick here. We're now well on our way to a beautiful friendship." "You were being a dick here?" Bobby turns around to shoot him a glare. "Theodore Munson, isn't that exactly what I told you not to do?" "I don't remember agreeing to that," Eddie says hastily as he decides to clean back further into the kitchen, where he's safe from Bobby's death glare. "And even if I did, it worked out in the end. Isn't that all that matters?" "No, it is not." Bobby pushes his glasses up as he grumbles. "I told you to behave." "Bobby," Eddie grins as he leans on his mop. "When have I ever, once in my life, done what I was told?" "Well, it would do you some good to start now," Bobby grumbles as he thumbs through the pile of receipts. "I don't know how Wayne sleeps at night knowing you're out in the world causing God only knows what amount of trouble." "He sleeps during the day, first of all," Eddie responds with a snicker. "Secondly, he's accepted the fact that he can't change me and taught me the proper way to handle a pocket knife. He's done all he can." Bobby shakes his head in exasperation and types something into the ancient calculator at his side, murmuring to himself before scribbling something down. "Am I allowed to ask what inspired this sudden change of heart?" Bobby calls over his shoulder. "It's not like you to give up on a grudge. You're usually as stubborn as an old farm goat." Eddie pauses his mopping and stands up straight so he can peer out the kitchen window and into the dining room. Across the way, Steve is scrubbing down the windows with a determined glare. It looks like some child had had the bright idea to use pancake syrup as finger paint and had smattered a large section of the window with sticky handprints. Eddie feels his smile soften as he leans on the mop. He misses Ray in his periphery watching him before following his gaze and looking out at Steve. "Oh, I get it," Ray says with a smug grin, snapping Eddie out of his stupor. "I think I know what might have inspired the change in attitude." "Don't!" Eddie hisses out at him, quickly glancing out at Bobby to see if he heard with panic in his eyes. "You know how he gets about these things. Ray, I'm begging you."
"What was that, baby?"
Bobby calls in through the window. "Did you say something?" Just commenting on the fact that I know what might have made Teddy behave, that's all, Ray says as Eddie groans and slumps against the mop handle. What? Bobby looks confused, and Ray has a smug smile on before glancing out at Steve and then wiggling his eyebrows suggestively. Bobby looks confused for a moment before understanding dawns on his face and he lights up like the 4th of July. I will remember this, Eddie grits out at Ray as Bobby stands up and claps his hands together in delight. Oh, Teddy, really? Bobby's hands are clasped together in glee. This is such wonderful news. You two would make such a sweet couple. I think I'm going to tear up. Would you keep it down? Eddie grits out, eyes darting over to Steve quickly to make sure he hasn't heard them. Bobby, please do not cry. I'm embarrassed about this enough as it is. I'm going to get our binder. Bobby ignores him and stands up in a hurry as Ray simply chuckles in the background. Maybe we can put a new page in it. I am begging you, do not get that dusty old thing out. Eddie feels his cheeks burning as Bobby scampers to the back office. Jesus Christ, just kill me now. Just let him get it out of his system. Ray nudges him as he walks by to grab a clean dish rag. He means well. This is your fault, Eddie gripes as he suddenly continues to drag them up across the floor. I blame you entirely for this. Your days are numbered, old man. Ray just gives him a smug smile and turns to wipe down the counters. Bobby comes running back in with ruddy red cheeks and a grin, clutching a taped up old binder to his chest. Seeing it hits Eddie with a wave of nostalgic embarrassment he can feel in his gut. Would you put that thing away before someone else sees it? Eddie hisses out, whipping his head around to make sure Tammy or Steve aren't secretly lurking in the corners of the kitchen. Bobby ignores him and places it on the kitchen countertop, opening it and dusting off the first page. Oh, Eddie, look, Bobby says softly, pressing his hand to his heart with a watery smile. It's the first collage we made together. Staring up at him is a messy sheet of computer paper, pasted with cut-out images from magazines. The pages have yellowed with age and some of the pictures have begun to unstick themselves and curl away from the paper. Boys, clothes, and other miscellaneous things that Eddie had liked when he was 11 and insecure. Bobby had come up with the idea of putting all the things he liked into one place as a way to express himself and be more confident in his tastes. They'd sat together for hours, cutting out different things from the stacks of magazines that Bobby's mother used to collect before she died. It had felt so special to have a binder full of all the things he liked at the time, but now he feels like he's drowning in a tidal wave of prepubescent humiliation. I am begging you on hands and knees here for you to put that thing away. Eddie nervously looks out the window again at Steve as Bobby waves him off. I don't know why you even kept it. It has enough blackmail material in it to ruin my expertly crafted bad boy reputation. Because we made it together and it's special to you. Bobby shoots him a huffy scowl and turns the page, his scowl melting into a smile. Look, here's our wedding page. Glued across the paper are two different grooms standing on a jaggedly cut out wedding cake. There are uneven hearts drawn all around in red crayon, and Eddie's heart skips a beat when he looks down at it. He'd been so excited about Bobby and Ray's wedding when he was younger that he insisted on making a page just for them. It was hard to find a photo of a black man wearing a suit in Bobby's mom's magazines, so instead he painstakingly cut up another photo of a man wearing a suit so he could glue that to a picture of Ray instead. That way, Ray could also be wearing a suit on the cake next to Bobby. They'd never gotten the opportunity to take actual wedding photos, so this wrinkled sheet of paper is the closest they ever got. Don't you think Steve would look so handsome in this type of suit? Bobby hums as he traces the outer line of the image with his ring finger, and Eddie feels the breath catch in his throat. Unbidden and unwelcomed, the image of Steve standing at the altar in a pressed suit and wearing a gentle smile pops up in Eddie's mind like a jump scare at the local haunted house. He has to physically swallow down a scream as he slaps the binder shut. Bobby looks at him with a knowing look as Eddie stuffs the binder into the backpack he brought with him to work. If he's lucky, there will be enough time before Wayne gets home that he can burn it in the front yard without anyone there to stop him. You look more like a cherry pie now, Bobby grins as Eddie shoots him a death glare. I don't think I've seen you this red since the day we had a talk about the birds and the bees. Well, the bees and the bees, in any case. Were you put on this earth exclusively to embarrass me, or do you think God gave you some other purpose? Eddie glares at him as he zips up his backpack. Of course he gave me another purpose, sweetie, Bobby grins, shining with a glint of malintent. He sent me down here to play matchmaker too. Eddie barely has any time to process what Bobby said before he's leaning out the window and shouting across the restaurant. Steve, sweetheart, come here. I want your opinion on something. Steve looks up from his crouched position by the windowsill, perking up like a puppy whose owner just got home. The gesture is so cute it makes Eddie want to rip his own hair out. Steve dusts off his hands as he walks over with a questioning look. This is a matter of grave importance, Stephen, Bobby says seriously, looking over his glasses and up at him. What type of pie do you think our dear Edward would be? My best guess would be rhubarb, but he disagrees, and I want a second opinion. Steve seems caught off guard by the question at first, but hums in consideration and leans all his weight onto one hip as he crosses his arms and thinks. His stare burns a hole into Eddie's face as his eyes narrow in thought. Eddie can feel himself start to sweat, but refuses to break eye contact as Steve blinks and then snaps his fingers with a grin. Peach. He recrosses his arms and stands there proudly as Bobby's eyebrows shoot up. He'd be a peach pie, for sure. Would you like to share with the class your thought processes on that, dear? Bobby is watching him with a look of fascination as he leans up against the window with a wide grin. Steve falters, eyes flickering up to meet Eddie's before clearing his throat and motioning to him. My mum used to make peach pies from scratch. It was a family recipe passed down from my great-grandma. She'd use bourbon as a secret ingredient. That's what he reminds me of. Sweet, with a little kick of something extra. Eddie feels like his brain is melting out of his ears, his face is so hot. Steve thinks he's sweet. He's pretty sure he could die happy now. Or maybe he's already dead, having somehow tricked the afterlife into letting him into heaven. A clerical error of some sort. It seems plausible since he's pretty sure his heart has stopped beating. He's starting to feel lightheaded. Oh shit, maybe he should sit down. Bobby turns to look up at him with a face full of delight. That sounds like sound logic to me. Bobby pinches Eddie's cheek and gives it a little shake. Got anything to say in response to that? Eddie says unintelligibly before shaking his head and clearing his throat, mentally slamming his forehead against a concrete wall in the hopes that it'll restart his brain. Steve just watches with an amused smile as Bobby laughs at his ruffled mental state. Ray takes pity on Eddie and nudges him as he walks by on the way out of the kitchen, startling him out of his stupor. Yeah, laugh it up. Eddie rubs his shoulder and shoots both Bobby and Ray a look. I was just surprised, all right? It's not every day you get a compliment from royalty. Ray ignores him and leans down to kiss Bobby on the cheek, smiling when Bobby leans up into it with a happy grin. Eddie barely registers the fairly common show of affection, but he happens to glance up and catch Steve's surprised expression. His eyes are wide in shock, and he seems stunned into silence. Eddie's blood turns to ice in his veins at the brief thought that Steve might not be as accepting as Dustin insisted he was. That Dustin's well-meaning endorsements might not match reality. It would crush Eddie's heart like a saltine cracker under a steel-toed boot to defend Bobby and Ray from Steve, but he would do it in a heartbeat. It's like Wayne told him every time he went out of his way to make sure Eddie was safe, happy and cared for. Family first, always. Damn the consequences. But Eddie has no need to panic. Steve's face slowly shifts into a content smile. His stance relaxed as Ray sends a smile back his way. Steve happens to glance up and catch Eddie looking at him. His expression must give him away because Steve blinks before his eyes widen again. Oh, no, like, it's fine, he says quickly. What's that expression Robin used? I'm a friend of Toto, or whatever. Bobby, Eddie and Ray stare at him for a second, before glancing at each other and then back at Steve. A friend of Toto? Sweetheart, what are you talking about? Bobby stares at him incredulously. You know, Steve makes a vague gesture, eyebrows furrowed in frustration. The Wizard of Oz? There's an expression for, like, gay stuff from the movie. I could have sworn I had it right, but I guess not. Suddenly, Ray bursts into a fit of laughter, bending halfway at the waist to clutch at his stomach as his laughter practically shakes the window frames. Kid, you mean a friend of Dorothy? Ray grins over at him, wiping tears away from his eyes. Steve points at Ray with a grin. Yes, exactly, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. Bobby leans back as he laughs and Steve smiles sheepishly at them both. Eddie's face contorts into a look of confusion. He's aware of what the expression means, but there's no way Steve is. Or at least, not the full context. Steve, Eddie says slowly with the start of a grin, you do know that doesn't mean you're friends with gay people, right? It's a way to insinuate that you are a gay person? Oh, Steve stills and puts a considering look on. I guess that phrase isn't super accurate for me, then. Eddie feels his heart drop at the thing he already knows, and he curses himself for it. Obviously, Steve's as straight as a church pew, but it'll still sting to hear it coming out of his own mouth. But Eddie's heart hasn't had time to make it into the pit of his stomach before Steve corrects himself. I mean, I like women too, so I guess it's half right? Would an acquaintance of Dorothy's be better? There's a stillness that falls across the restaurant as Steve ponders the wording. Bobby and Ray both look shocked, and Eddie is sure he's wearing a similar expression. You like women too? Eddie says slowly, white-knuckling the kitchen window as he stares at Steve in disbelief. He must not realise what he's saying. Steve's smile falls as he looks back up at Eddie, his stance shifting into something more defensive. Yeah? His eyes have gone steely. I said, too. I like men and women too. Do you have a problem with that? Eddie feels like the whole world has shifted on its axis at least 90 degrees. He glares at Bobby and Ray to see if they felt it too, but they're both staring back at Eddie cautiously. He knows they don't think he's homophobic, because obviously not, but his reaction must be coming off as strange because they're looking at him with slight looks of concern. Steve Harrington thinks he's sweet. And he likes men. This is almost too much information for Eddie to process. Certainly too much to be dropped on his head within the span of an hour. It's like the universe is testing his ability to remain a functioning person in the face of nearly every gay fantasy he's had since he hit puberty, excluding the kinky ones, coming true. The boy that he likes maybe possibly being able to like him back? Not to say that Steve would like him just because he happens to like men. Eddie isn't conceited. It's just never been this close to a possibility before. No, Eddie croaks out. No, I. Ray and Bobby quickly look at each other again as Eddie struggles to speak. Steve's expression shifts from something guarded to something more concerned. Eddie knows he must look insane as he grips the window, practically soaked in sweat. He so desperately wants to say, no problem, man, me too, dicks, am I right? But he's never come out to someone who isn't family before. Wayne knew before Eddie had even moved in, and Bobby and Ray found out later when they noticed Eddie pilfering magazines from their Playgirl collection. That had led to the world's most uncomfortable conversation, but Eddie never doubted for a second that he wouldn't be loved and accepted once it was over. But facing Steve and admitting it to him? That's a whole new level of terrifying he never expected he'd have to deal with. That goes against one of the core values of the Munson Doctrine. Always keep them guessing. Never let them know how you really feel. Eddie's been struggling to speak for long enough that Steve frowns before moving closer. Eddie? He says quietly. It's okay, man. If you need some time to process, I understand. It took me almost 20 years to figure it out myself. I understand if you need a minute. Eddie's heart clenches as he realises what Steve's doing. He is giving him an out, putting his own feelings at risk and to the side, all for Eddie's sake. Eddie squeezes his eyes shut and forces himself to speak. No! Everyone flinches back at the loud volume and Eddie shakes his head. No, man, that's not what I'm trying to say. Just give me a second. He looks up at Steve's wide eyes full of worry and concern and quickly glances away again. He takes a deep breath in before looking up with shaky determination. Me too, he motions between himself and Steve. I mean, not with women. I don't like them. That's a big difference, I guess, but... Me too? Eddie mentally kicks himself for his less than smooth delivery, and his hands start to shake as realisation dawns on Steve's face. His eyes widen slightly, and he simply lets out a soft... Oh. Bobby and Ray stand between them, glancing back and forth at the pair of them before Ray moves to the kitchen and pulls Eddie into a side hug, squeezing him tight with a soft smile. Proud of you, he says simply, as Bobby looks back at him with a similar smile. Eddie's cheeks burn bright red, and he nods shortly. Bobby turns to Steve and reaches for his hand, which Steve gives willingly. We're proud of you too, sweetheart. Bobby's face is full of nothing but unwavering support as he squeezes his hand. I'm so proud of you both. Thanks, Bobby, Steve says with a shaky smile and squeezes Bobby's hand back. It dawns on Eddie that this might be the first and only time in Steve's life that he's had an adult say it's okay to be the way he is. Eddie suddenly feels lucky he grew up the way he did. Even with his rough patches, he's always had someone in his corner supporting him. His heart aches at the thought that Steve didn't have that same safe space as a kid. Ray comes over and claps a hand on Steve's shoulder as well, his signature way of showing affection. You boys are always welcome to come to us about any problems you might have, all right? Ray gives Steve's shoulder a firm shake and looks down at him seriously. This one already knows, but I want to make sure you do too, okay? Ray nods over towards Eddie, who's struggling to pick one direction to look in. If you ever had any problems you feel like you can't come to us for, I know Teddy will support you too. Isn't that right, Teddy? Bobby looks over at Eddie and raises his eyebrows expectantly. Steve's eyes light up like it's Christmas, and Eddie feels dread sink low in his gut, groaning out loud. He realises this is probably the first time he's heard Bobby call him that, and while the nickname usually makes his heart warm, the only thing it's doing right now is spelling out his doom. That true, Teddy? Steve's grin takes up his whole face, voice giddy as he tries not to laugh. You're gonna keep me safe. Eddie doesn't even need to turn the griddles on. He's sure he could fry an egg right on his face, he's so embarrassed. Don't start with me, Harrington. Start what? He asks with fake innocence. I haven't started anything. I'm just saying what Bobby said. Steve, Eddie says in a warning tone that's completely ruined by the fact that he's red up to the tips of his ears. I'm warning you, cut the shit or you'll be limping from table to table tomorrow. Is that a threat or flirtation? Eddie, Teddy. Steve gazes through his lashes with an infuriating little smirk. Eddie briefly considers hopping the counter and sprinting out the door before coming to the conclusion that Steve's reflexes are likely better than his and he would catch up with him in no time. Steve's grin slowly fades as Eddie looks flustered and clearly overwhelmed. Here, I'll promise I'll be nice. Please don't make me stop. Steve looks like he's holding back a laugh, but his smile is sincere. Eddie has to briefly remind himself, this isn't the King of Hawkins High anymore. It's just Steve. Fine, he grits out as he whips around to finish mopping the kitchen floor. But you're on thin fucking ice, Harrington. Okay, Teddy. Steve's smiling and looking over at Bobby and Ray, who seem to be struggling to contain their giggles as they watch Eddie and Steve bicker playfully. Steve waggles his eyebrows in their direction, and they all peal into bursts of laughter as Eddie storms off into the kitchen with an indignant huff. This is terrible, Eddie thinks to himself as he turns his back on the three most embarrassing people he knows. I've allowed my own downfall. But despite what he's thinking, for the first time in years, he feels something he never allowed himself to feel when it came to a cute boy he liked. Hopeful.